This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Hello and welcome. I'm Natalie Pinchem, and I will be reading synopses of some of the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery on March 21st, 2014. The topics of the articles featured in this podcast are traumatic brain injury, epilepsy, and the skull base. Evaluation of simultaneous cranioplasty and ventriculoperitoneal shunt procedures. A clinical article by Junyoung Heo and colleagues. Some patients with severe brain swelling treated with decompressive craniectomy may develop hydrocephalus. Consequently, these patients require cranioplasty and a ventriculoperitoneal shunt to relieve the hydrocephalus. However, undergoing both operations at the same time may lead to complications due to unexpected cerebrospinal fluid circulation changes. The authors analyzed 51 patients who had undergone cranioplasty and ventriculoperitoneal shunt insertion after decompressive craniectomy for refractory intracranial hypertension. The overall complication rate was 43%. In 32 cases, cranioplasty and ventriculoperitoneal shunt placement were performed at the same time. This group had a higher complication rate than the group that underwent the procedures at different times. The severity of complications was also greater in the group undergoing the operations simultaneously. Patients with severe brain bulging had higher complication rates than those without brain bulging. Most of the patients who had complications had subdural fluid collection or subdural hematoma. The higher complication rate may be explained by difficulties in adjusting the ventriculoperitoneal shunt pressure in these patients. The authors think that when a patient requires both operations simultaneously, especially with a bulging brain, cerebrospinal fluid drainage via a lumbar or ventricular puncture should be considered before the operation to control the intracranial pressure and avoid complications. Chronic Unlimited Recording Electrocorticography-Guided Resective Epilepsy Surgery. Technology-enabled enhanced fidelity in seizure-focus localization with improved surgical efficacy. A clinical article by Daniel John DiLorenzo and co-authors. Epilepsy surgery is at the cusp of a technological transformation, with chronic monitoring and neuromodulatory technologies being of particular importance. Chronic implanted neurological monitoring technology offers the potential to monitor patients over long periods in their normal ambulatory setting with outpatient medication regimens. This overcomes significant temporal limitations, pharmacological perturbations, and infection risks inherent in the present methods of subacute percutaneous inpatient monitoring of pre-surgical candidates. In the pivotal study for the NeuroPace Responsive Neurostimulation System, the authors assessed the system's efficacy to control seizures in patients with medically refractory epilepsy who were not candidates for further resective surgery. Beyond the scope of the pivotal study, they monitored seizure and epileptiform activity and performed long-term analysis of chronic unlimited recording electrocorticography from implanted electrodes. The authors were able to further refine seizure source localization and sufficiently increase the expected likelihood of seizure control such that four patients who had previously been considered to not be candidates for surgery underwent resective surgery and achieved seizure freedom. The authors conclude that the use of this method to guide resective epilepsy surgery may improve outcomes and expand the set of patients in whom resective surgery may be efficacious. they suggest that further study is warranted. Anterior inferior petrosectomy, defining the role of endonasal endoscopic techniques for petrous apex approaches. A laboratory investigation by Jamie Joseph Van Gompel and co-workers. The petrous apex can be approached endonasally by way of an endoscopic endonasal anterior petrosectomy. Endonasal anterior petrosectomy is a relatively new procedure and has not been compared anatomically with open microscopic anterior petrosectomy. An endonasal anterior petrosectomy and an open anterior petrosectomy may approach different portions of the petrous apex, and therefore may have different applications. In this cadaveric anatomical study, using three-dimensional computed tomography volumetric assessment, open microscopic anterior petrosectomy achieved nearly a 50% larger volumetric resection than endonasal anterior petrosectomy. Furthermore, while open microscopic anterior petrosectomy appears to completely address the superior portion of the petrous apex, endonasal anterior petrosectomy appears to have a niche in approaches to lesions in the inferior petrous apex. Given these results, the authors propose that open microscopic anterior petrosectomy be redefined as the superior anterior petrosectomy. While endonasal anterior petrosectomy should be referred to as the inferior anterior petrosectomy, which more clearly defines the role of each approach in anterior petrosectomy. Thank you for listening. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at thejns.org.